Okay, we are holding up the very last daf in Maseches Horios, the very last daf in Seder Nezikin. Today's daf is Horios daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, all the way at the top of the page on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara, the last thing we discussed yesterday, were about certain things that make you forget your learning. Eating from the same place that a mouse ate from would make a person forget his learning. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban, Chamisha Dvar Meshachem Es Alimud. There are five things that make a person forget their learning, and they are as follows. Number one, ha'ochel mimasha ochel achbar u'mimasha ochel chatul. That apparently counts as one. If you eat from a place that a mouse ate from, or from a place that a cat ate from, the reason that those two count as one, we say there are five, and then we list six unless you count those two as one. So the reason that those two count as one, the Elef HaMagen explains that the only reason eating a cat makes you forget your learning is because a cat eats mice. So it's all rooted in the mice. So that's really only one issue, one reason that one would forget his learning. Number two, va'ochel lev shel behema, someone eats the heart of an animal. Number three, va'ragil b'zesim, someone who's in the habit, not just once in a while, but in the habit of eating olives. Number four, va'shosa mayim shel shiurei rechitza, someone who drinks water from after someone's taken a bath, the leftover water from a bath. And number five, va'ruch itzraglov zu'al gabezu, someone who washes his legs one on top of the other. The Yesham, and some say that there's actually a sixth one. Afam Niach, Kalev Tachas Merashosav. Even someone who puts his clothing under his head, meaning someone who uses his head as a pillow. So there's a lot over here in terms to discuss over here. First of all, there is a Gemara Maseches Menachos and Daf Tzadi Tesam and Beis, where the Gemara says that Hashochech Dover Milimudo is over Belav. Someone who forgets something from his learning has violated a Losase Mera Torah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, He Shomer Lechol Shmor Nafshcha Ma'od Pen Tishkachas Advarim. And we know that the Lashonos He Shomer Pen Al are all the shonos of losase, and over here you have two of them. He shomer l'chol shmor nafshcha ma'od pen tishkachas advarim. So there's a losase apparently not to forget your learning. So in the Mishnah and Pirkei, not only that. What's interesting is that it sounds from that Gemara that it's a very clear losase min haTorah. The Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch do not count that lav. However, the Smag, the Smak, the Yereim all do count that lav, as you would expect to count it from the Gemara Menachos. So why is it that the Rambam and the Chinuch do not count that losase? So Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah in the Kutras Achron explains that the Rambam didn't count the lav as a separate lav because he held that it's part of the mitzvah sase of Talmud Torah. And the fact that the Gemara associates it with a losase is just an asmachta bialma. But the iser to forget your learning is really a function of the mitzvah sase of Talmud Torah, that the way a person is supposed to learn is that they're supposed to learn in a way that they will remember. On a certain level, we treat learning Torah as a religious obligation, but on another level, we have to treat it the same way we would treat studying any secular subject that we're going to be tested on, anything else, that just like a doctor studies medicine to become a doctor in a way that he will know it, not just in a way that he's going through it. So too, Torah study has to be in a similar fashion. In the Derech Mitzvosecha by the author of the Mishnah Lamelech, he writes that the reason the Rambam doesn't count it is because it's one of those mitzvos that are kolulim, that are much more general, that are very inclusive, so that and therefore doesn't get counted. Forgetting your learning, he holds, is like something that's not just a specific idea. It's something that's like an all-inclusive idea about the way we approach our religion. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we're well aware of. Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos tells us, Kala shochech dov rechon mi mishnaso, someone forgets some of his learning, Mala alav akasuv ki ilu hu mischayev benafsho. The Torah considers it as if he's chayev bisa, as if he's mischayev benafsho. The Gemara Maseches Yuma on Daf Lamed Chesam Rebeis says that someone who shochech dov rechas mi talmudo, Gorim Golus Labanov, causes Golus to his children. So you have all these Ma'amari Chazal that speak very, very strongly about not forgetting your learning. The Marsha says, when it says that you're Shochech Talmudo, someone who forgets Talmudo, it means things that come through Pilpul HaTalmud, but things that the But when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Shochet Tov Rechon Mimishnaso, doesn't use the lashon of Talmudo. So that which it says in Pirkei Avos Mimishnaso means those things that didn't come out of Pilpul but came just out of a Masorah, out of what was given to you, what was handed to you as the basic information. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that the whole Isser is only when you're Shav V'Hisira Milavavo, that when you sit down and try to forget it. But that which you just forget naturally, probably you're not in violation of the Isser. That's how the Bartanura at least explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that if you're sitting there trying, but if you stop, you get old and you forget something, so you're not going to be Chayv Misa for getting old. That's very natural. The person gets a little bit older and they forget something. So then the question becomes, okay, what if you do one of these things? If you hold that it's a Lo Sasei Min HaTorah to forget your learning, by doing one of these things that are Meshakeach as a Talmud, are you in violation of a Lo Sasei Min HaTorah? So the Eliyahu Rabbi writes that that someone who's Mimali Kreso is over Be'isr Shechchas HaTorah. Someone who fills his stomach is in violation of Shechchas HaTorah. So he apparently holds anything that's going to cause you to forget your learning is a violation of this Lo Sasei. However, in the Sefer Chassidim, he says, no, it's not even in violation of Nisr D'Rabbanan, because, the whole point was, it's only if you're sitting and trying to be Mesir Milavado. By doing these things, it could be you're doing these things because you wanted to do them, you had a taiva to do them, not because you're sitting there trying to make it that you'll forget your learning. So it's a different story. In the Sefer Chassidim, it has a story over there that Echad Shal is a Chacham Sha'achbarim Achlo Milachma, that someone once went to a Chacham with a Shaila, that Achbarim, that mice, ate from his bread, so he wanted to know, can he eat from the bread? And the Chacham said, well, why wouldn't you eat from the bread? Well, he said, maybe I'm afraid I'm going to forget my learning if I go and I eat from the bread, and I'm very careful not to eat those things that are going to make me forget my learning. The only thing is, I'm asking the Shaila because I'm starving right now. So the Chacham says that the Chacham said to him that you're only in violation of the law when you're Yoshev Umeisir Es HaTorah Milibo, when you try to forget. And he said, look, there's these things cause you to forget your learning, but what also cause you to forget your learning is if you're starving and you're going to end up spending more time going around trying to find food to eat and scrounge for food, you're going to end up not learning at all, whereas if you just go eat now, you'll be able to learn the whole day. So not learning is also a big skula to forget your learning. So it's much better to violate one of these things and have the opportunity to learn than to not learn at all. So, but Magen Avraham, nevertheless, Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch and Chaim Simon Beis, and in Simon Kuf Nun Ches, Magen Avraham writes that Bevadai, it's certainly correct, it's nachon to be careful lechatchila to avoid all of these things that make your memory weaker. And these things that we list in our Gemara apparently are make the memory a little bit weaker. In the Mishmer Shalom, he says, yeah, but they don't apply to women, because women have no isser of forgetting the learning, they have no chiyuv of Talmud Torah. This is directly related to the Talmud Torah. They quote B'Shem the Gra that this whole list doesn't apply nowadays. That when was it so critical that you don't forget anything? That's when not everything was already in Sfarim. But nowadays, if you forget something, so you look it up in the Sefer, and you'll find it. It's not that hard. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that granted the Torah, Shebal Peh has been written down and you are able to look in Sfarim, still he thinks we still have this Isser, because the Isser the Isser is violated not when you go look for it and can't find it. The Isser is violated the second you forget it. So there's going to be that span of time where you've forgotten and you haven't yet had a chance to look for it, so you have already violated the Isser. He says, besides, it's not mistaver that the halacha is going to change. That if it is in fact an Isser, it's not mistaver that we're just going to go and change the halacha based on the fact that the Torah Shebal Peh was written down. Sorry. Okay, the Divrei Chaim has a tshuva where someone asks the Divrei Chaim in Chelek Hay. I'm sorry, no, not in Chelek Hay. In Chelek Beis, Yerodeh Simon Samach Beis, the Divrei Chaim was asked if a mouse ate from your bread, is it good enough to just cut away that area where the mouse ate from, or do you have to actually throw away the whole piece of bread? So he says, it sounds from the Gemara that the entire Meichel is maybe Lidei Shechcha. However, the Tshuvas Mili de Avos is Medayik, the exact opposite. He says, so the Gemara uses a Lashon, someone who eats Mima Sha'achala Akbar. Someone who eats from what the Akbar ate. It doesn't say midavar Sha'achala Akbar, which implies that it's really only on that one place. It's not an, if you eat anything. That the it's not if you eat the rest of the food. The rest of the food is going to be okay. Fine. So all these other examples, obviously, there's what to talk about. Actually, let's talk about just one of them. We said someone who puts his kalev tachas min ha'shosof, someone who puts his clothing underneath his head, that's also kasha l'shichcha. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Tamid. The Mishnah Maseches Tamid in Daf Chafei Amid Beis tells us that the Pirchei Kohuna, when they would sleep in the complex of the Beis HaMikdash, they would take their begadim and they would put it on the ground and they would sleep. And they would fold them up, and they would put it tachas mirasheim. They would put it under their heads. I thought you're not allowed to put begadim under your heads because it's kasha l'shicha. So how are they allowed to do that? A very strong kasha. So there are six terutzim that are mentioned in the Achronim. The Be'er Sheva is mitari. It's based on the fact that the Gemara in Tamid says tachas mirasheim doesn't mean under their heads. Tachas mirasheim means keneged rasheim. It means in the area of their heads, but they didn't actually use it as a pillow. To use your clothing as a pillow, that's a bad thing. The Magen Giborim is miyashiv, that it could be that there's no iser when there's something else that's mafsik between the beged and your head, and it could be that that's what the Pirchei Kohuna did. They put it under their pillow, but their pillow was mafsik between their beged and their heads. In the Salmas Chaim, which is Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, in his Tshuvas, he writes that only a person who's ragila haniach begad of tachas rosho is in violation of the iser, but there's no iser to do it every once in a while. The truth is, that's very shver in the wording of the Gemara, because the Gemara listed five things that make you forget. One of the things was haragil bezesim, but when we spoke about putting something under your head, we just said hamaniach kelev tachas ben shosav. It didn't say anything about ragil lahaniach. The Salmas Chaim goes on and is miyashiv in another way. He says that it could be the iser is only to put your begadim tachas, your own begadim tachas, your head, but to put other people's begadim is not going to be an iser. The bigdei kohuna is what the pirchei kohuna put underneath their heads, so they're kadosh. They don't belong to them personally. That's the uniform that's owned by the state. That's not their own personal property, and therefore would not be included in the iser. David Misharim, answer number five, suggests that things that are kadosh are not subject to such segulas that are kasha l'shicha. And the Bigdei Kohuna have kedusha. And he also says in the name of Marsham that in the Mikdash he didn't have any issues of ruach ra. And could be that all these inyanim that relate to shicha just don't apply. The Mikdash is immune to any such issues. Okay, Vayter in the Gemara. So those are the five things that are kasha l'shicha. We're now about 5-6 lines in on Yud Gimel and Beis. Says Gemara, Chamisha Devar Mashiv Mesalimud. Now that we mentioned the five things that cause you to forget your learning, let's go to the five things that cause you to remember your learning. And they are, number one, pas pechamin v'kol shekhen pechamin atzman, bread baked over coals, and certainly the coals themselves. Number two, v'ochel beitzah megulgalos b'lo melach, someone who eats a roasted egg without salt. Number three, v'aragil b'shemen zayis, someone who's used to having olive oil. Again, used to having olives, that's bad, that makes you forget. Olive oil makes you remember. That's what a lot of the Achronim write. They must offset each other, and that's why we're not makbid on either one. There's offsetting effects. V'aragil b'yayin u'besamim, someone who's ragil to have yayin and besamim, to have wine and smell spices. V'ashosu mayim shel shiri isa, and someone who drinks the water that's left over from kneading the dough. V'yeshom af hatov letzbo b'melech v'ochel, and some say even if you dip your finger in salt and you eat. Haragil b'shemen zayis. Say it, Rabbi Yochanan. The fact that ragil b'shem and zayis is a good thing is a right. Rabbi Yochanan, Domer Rabbi Yochanan, k'shem sha zayis mishakeach limud shel shivim shana, kach shem and zayis meishiv limud shel shivim shana. Just like zayis cause you to forget 70 years of learning, so to shem and zayis cause you to remember 70 years of learning. What does it mean, 70 years of learning? So Rashi explains, mishakeach means things that you've known for 70 years. 70 years of learning doesn't mean 70 years full worth of learning. If you learned for 70 years, all you've learned over those 70 years are going to be forgotten by eating olives. It's not what it means. It means that if there's something that you've known for 70 years, you've known it for a very long time, it's been a part of you for that long, but still you could forget such a thing. Meshav Hazalim was something that you learned 70 years ago and haven't thought about since then. Something that you learned 70 years ago and you wasn't at the center of your consciousness since then. said it's meshiv asalim. You're going to come to remember it. V'aragil b'yayin b'samim. We said someone who's used to having yayin and b'samim. Misayel el Rava dam Rava chamer v'richni pikchim. That's exactly what Rava says. Rava says wine is something that makes you smarter. V'atavlat bo b'melech. Someone who dips his finger in salt. Om reish lakishu ba'achas. Assuming he dips ba'achas, meaning he dips one finger. Ketanai, this is in fact a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda mar achas vel shtayim. Rabbi Yehuda says one and not two. Rabbi Yosef mar shtayim vel shalosh. Rabbi Yosef says two and not three. V'simanayach kmitza. And the best way to remember that the machlokas is one and not two and two and not three, but not two and not three or three and not four, is by remembering kmitza, because kmitza is done with a maximum of three fingers. Asar dvarim kashim l'limud. There are 10 things that are difficult that make learning hard, that are not good for your learning. However, taksa afsar gamal v'kolshkein. If someone passes underneath the saddle of the camel, and certainly under a camel himself, va'over ben shnei gemalim, if someone walks between two camels, va'over ben shnei nashim, if someone walks between two women, va'isha va'aris ben shnei nashim, or if a woman walks between two men, va'over mitachas reach ra shel nevela, someone who passes under the putrid smell of a nevela, va'over tachas hagesher shelo avru tachtav mayim mem yom, someone who passes under a bridge that water has not passed under for 40 days. Va'ochel pashlo bishel kol tzarcho. If someone eats bread that's not fully baked. Va'ochel basr mezuama listeron. Someone who eats meat that zuama listeron, that Rashi explains. Also, kafsha bochshin as a kadeira kari luhachi al shem sham ma'avirin azuama letzadniv. Use the spoon that they use to stir the pot to eat the basar. That's also something that's not good for your learning. Vashosu me'amas hamayim, and someone who drinks from a spring of water. Hoveris beveis akvaro, someone who passes through a cemetery. Vamistakel b'fnei ames, someone who looks at a dead body. V'yeshomrim af hakorei ksav shal gabei akever, even someone who reads the writing on a kever. So let's just discuss two of these things. Number one, we said over ben shnei nashim and isha veres ben shnei nashim. There is a gemara in Maseches Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The gemara says that there are three things that are einam mematzin, meaning that three things that you should not have go in between two men, and ein mismatzin, that a man should not go in between two of them. What are these three things? Kelev, Dekel, and Isha. So a woman is on the list. And some say Yeshom Rafa Chazir, Yeshom Rafa Nachash. So the Gemara says, if a woman passes between two men, so is there any way to fix it? Is there any way to make it better? So Rav Papa says, Sheniftach Bekel V'Nafsik Bekel. Rashi explains that means you should say over, Kel Motziyah Mi Mitzrayim, Kilo Nachash B'Yakov, until Mapa Al Kel. You should say over those few psukim, and that will be a skula to make it better. Rasha says that this whole takana only helps legabe sakana. The Gemara over there is a different context. It's not talking about forgetting your learning. The Gemara over there is talking about that these are bad things, that it's going to cause sakana. It's going to be dangerous for you. So in order to get around the sakana issue, so you say these few psukim. But in terms of your limud, there is no tikkun. In terms of what it does for your learning, a woman walks between two men, there is no tikkun for that. And the Tshuva Salmas Chaim, he disagrees. He says that the takana is meant as a total takana. It even helps for your learning as well. Shuv Shalos Chaim says that this is only true, though, this whole halacha, this whole concern, not halacha, this whole concern is only concern if an ish passes between two women who are standing stationary, or a woman passes between two men who are standing still, that are standing one place. But when everyone is walking together, then you don't have to be makbid about it, because there is no real emtsa, because none of them are kavua, none of them are set in any place. So people are milling around, and everyone's moving around, so the whole halacha doesn't apply. That's what Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld writes in Salmas Chaim. Also, we mentioned on the list someone who reads, or the last thing we said, someone who reads Ksav Shal Gabei HaKever. If you read the Ksav on a kever, that's also bad for learning. So in the Sefer HaZikaron, he writes the name of the Arizal. For some reason, that's only when the ksav on the kever is bolate, when the ksav on the kever is not engraved, it's embossed, it sticks out, rather than being engraved into the kever. But when it's engraved, he says, then there's no hakpada whatsoever. Yosef Omet says that he's seen that there are people that are medaktik to take a rock and put it on top of the matseva. And the reason they do that, I never knew the reason, reason. I thought it was just a way of making like an extra matzeva. But the reason they do that, he says, is because doing that is it solves the problem of forgetting your learning. You can then read the kever, and it's not going to be a problem of forgetting your learning. It's going to be a counter segula to forgetting your learning. And he says it could be that there's such a kabbalah me'akan monim that such a thing works. And he says perhaps we could be matzari for the two things to be makel, the arizal, that anything that's engraved is not going to be mazik, plus our minug that we put a rock on the matzevos. So between the two of them, we have what to rely on to actually read what it says on the matzevos. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta. Tan Rabban, kshanasi nichnas kala am omdim ve'in yoshim ad sha'omer lam shvu. When the nasi walks into a room, everyone's got to stand up and they can't sit down until he says to them, sit. Kishav bezin nichnas osim lo shura. When an avbezin walks into a room, they make a shura, they make a row. Achas mikan, shura achas mikan, shura achas mikan. They make two rows, people line up in two rows. Ad sheyashu b'makomo, until he sits in his place. Kishachacham nichnas, echad omid vechad yoshev, ad sheyashu b'makomo. One person stands, one person sits, until he gets to his place. B'nei chacham v'talmidei, meaning you see different levels of kavod. B'nei chacham v'talmidei chacham, b'zman sh'rabim tzrichim lahem, the children of chacham v'talmidei chachamim, when they are needed by the public, when they serve the community, mafsiin al rashi ha'am, they can jump over the heads of the people when they need to get to where they need to go. Even though posei al rashi ha'am kodesh is generally considered to be a bad thing. Yatzal l'tzorech yikaneis v'yeshuv b'mekomo. If he goes out for a need, for whatever need, he can come back and go back to his regular place. Beneta, even in the middle of a shir or whatever. Beneta al midi chacham shem munim avim parnis al tzibur bizman sheyesh lem das l'shmoa. When you have beneta al midi chacham who are appointed to positions over in the tzibur, to communal positions, so as soon as they have the das to listen to a shir, nichnasim v'yashim l'fnei avim, they sit in front of their fathers v'achoreim klapei am, with their back toward the people, meaning they get a front row seat. Bizman sheyin lem das l'shmoa, when they don't have the das to understand, nichnasim v'yashim then they sit with their back to their fathers and their face to everybody else. Rav Lozer Rabbi Tzadok Omer, af beis hamishta osim osam sniffin, that even in the beis hamishta we would make them a sniff, meaning we would sit them next to the zakenim as a way of having kavod for their fathers by making them a sniff zakenim, something that like is an add-on. They're like at the side of the rabbi's table. Amar Mar, yotzal l'tzorech nichnas v'yoshiv b'mekamov. He went out for some reason, so we just said he can come back in the middle of this year and go back to his regular place. Amar Papa, lo amru elu l'ketanim, av l'gdolim. So what does Yatzal Tzorach mean? Yatzal Tzorach means he went to the bathroom. So what kind of going to the bathroom? That's only if he had to urinate. But if he had to defecate, so then we're not going to say that. Because it's his fault that he left. He should have thought about it beforehand, before he went into the shir, to start the shir, that he's going to have to walk out in the middle. This is it was a whole different attitude toward going to the bathroom back in the times of Chazal, when if a person had to do gedolim, they had to go outside of the city. They were very, very conscious of their bodily functions well in advance, because it took a lot of planning. It wasn't just you go right to the men's room. That's when you discuss the Yisurim of Baal Teshaktu, that when Chazal say that there's Nisra of Baal Teshaktu, so a lot of the contemporary poskim say the Gedarim of Baal Teshaktu have changed drastically nowadays, because our whole attitude and our whole understanding and our whole sensitivity to when we have to go to the bathroom is completely different than it used to be in the times of Chazal. So anyway, so that's what we're saying over here, that something like Gedolim you should have realized before. Person should always train himself to go once in the morning, once in the night, so that he's not going to ever leave the city. Is it an Amar Rabba? What does it change it to? No, it just doesn't have it. Okay, nowadays, the Gemara already notices, says nowadays that we're much weaker, so even for Gedolim, you're allowed to go back to your original place. That they would even put them up at the rabbi's table at the Beis HaMishta, the children of Talmidei Chacham. Amar Rabba, b'chai aviyem b'fnei aviyem. That's only while the father's alive in front of their fathers. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'meirim shugum liel, nishnas Mishnah Zu, that this Mishnah was taught during the days of Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Rav Shmuel Gamliel Nasi. Rav Shmuel Gamliel was a Nasi. Rav Meir Chacham. Rav Meir was a Chacham. Rabbi Nasan Av Bezin. Rabbi Nasan was an Av Bezin. Kiav Rav Shmuel Gamliel Hasam Av Kaimi Kuli Alam Mekamei. When Rav Shmuel Gamliel was there, everyone would stand up for Rav Shmuel Gamliel. Kiav Ali Rav Meir Rabbi Nasan. When Rav Meir Rabbi Nasan, the Chacham and the Av Bezin would walk in, Havu Kaimi Kuli Alam Mekamei. Everyone would stand up for them. Amar Mishum Umriel, Mishum Umriel says, wait a second, I'm the Nasi, and they're treating them the same way that they're treating me. Lo ba'al mehavi haker ben di li l'ditu. Shouldn't there be some sort of hacker to distinguish between them and between me? So takin amas nisa, hahu yama lo, so he was misaking that mission that we just said before, with the chilukim and how you stand up. He made a takana. It's no longer the same. You don't just stand up the same way for everybody. It should be recognizable who's a Nasi, who's a Chacham, who's an Avbezin. Hu yama lavi rameir raminas nas, and that day rameir raminas weren't there on the day Rabbi Shimon Leal made the Takana, so they weren't there to talk about it or to hear about it. Lamachra Kiyasu, next day when they came, Chazu Dilakam Mikamayu Kidurigila Milsa. Next day they walk into the Beis Medrash and they see people aren't standing for them the way that people normally stand for them, and it was very upsetting. Amri Maihai, they said, what's going on here? Samaluhu, Hachi Takan Rabbi Shimon Leal. They said, oh, you were absent yesterday. Rabbi Shimon Leal made a Takana. This is the new way that we stand for you. It's with a little less covered as a way of elevating the position of the Nasi. Amalei Ramei Rabbi Nassan, so Ramei says Rabbi Nassan, Anach Chacham V'yata Avbezdin. Well, who are we? We're nobody. Look, I'm a Chacham, you're an Avbezdin. Niskin Milsa Kila Didan. So we should do something. We should make a plan that will help us out, that's going to make it better for us. Rashi explains, Klomer Navad Leki Hechi Da'avad Hula Didan. We should get revenge. We should do to him what he did to us. Behind our backs, he does something that's going to be pogame our kavod. So we should go do something that's going to be pogim his kavod. Rash says, Istigarsi niskin milsa kilisnan. Kilomer, meaning to say, niskin milsa tavi zikaron liolam ludoros afilu kien biolam. We should do something that's going to be remembered for future generations. And he says, Istami niskin milsa kilesni, to say, Shilmadenu davar she'enu yodea lumo viyuspayesh. That what their plan in advance was, let's do something to make him look like a fool. Let's do something to make him look like he doesn't know anything. So my Navidlei, what should we do? Namely, Gali Uksim Dlesle. Let's, next time he comes into the yeshiva, we'll say, can you say Shir Mesech Zuksin? Because we know that he doesn't really know Mesech Zuksin. So we'll ask him to say Shir and Uksin. V'kivin Dlo Gamir, namely, Miyam Al Gvur Sashem Yashmir Kal Tilaso. And as soon as he doesn't know it, we'll dash in the Pasuk. Miyam Al Gvur Sashem Yashmir Kal Tilaso. Lemina, Lemal Gvur Sashem. Who's the one to teach Torah? Mishiach Lashmir Kal Tilaso. Someone who knows all of Torah. Someone who's ignorant of Mesech Zuksin is not going to be good enough, the Avre, and then we'll have him fired as the Nasi. So that's their plan. So Vaveana Avbezin Vat Nasi, and then we'll each move up a step. So right, so Meir who's the Chacham says, I'll become the Avbezin. You, Rabbi Nassan, who's the Avbezin, you'll become the Nasi. So that's the plan. Shamin Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi. Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi heard of this plan. Amar Dilma Chas V'Shal Nasya Milsim Lidek Sufa. He says, oh my gosh, it's going to be so embarrassing from Shumim Umliel. That's not a good thing. Also, Yosef Achori Elisid Rabbi Shumim Umliel. So he went and he sat behind Rabbi Shumim Umliel. Pashav Garz V'Tana Garz V'Tana. And he kept on just saying over Mesech Zoksin. Kept on learning over Mesech Zoksin over and over again. So Amar, so Rabbi Shumim Umliel says, my Dekamu, what's going on over here? Why do I keep hearing Mesech Zoksin in my voice? You know, this guy is standing like behind him, you know, just screaming out Mesech Zoksin. He said, why do I keep hearing voices of Mesech Zoksin? Maybe something happened in the Beis Medrash that would require me to know Mesech Zoksin. So he said, you know what, tonight I'm staying up and I'm learning Mesech Zoksin. So he learned Mesech Zoksin. Next day he walks into the Beis Medrash, they say, hey, can you learn Mesech Zoksin? Can you say Shir and Uksin? So he said a beautiful Shir in Mesech Zoksin. Basa da Okim. After he got up from the shir, Amaluhu, he said to them, Ilo Gamirna Kasiftinan, look, had I not just learned it all night last night, that would have been very embarrassing for me that you asked me to learn Mesech Zoksin and I didn't know it. So he said, obviously he was on to them, he knew what they were trying to do to him, and he made a tzava that they have to leave the Beis Medrash. He threw him out of the yeshiva for trying to embarrass the Rosh Yeshiva. You don't get away with that. Havukasri Kushyasa Bepitka Vishadu Asam. So anytime they would have a kasha, they would write their kashas down on a note. They would write a little petek, and they would bring it into the Beis Medrash to have a mifrak, and whatever questions he could answer, he would answer. To love a mifrak, whatever questions he was unable to answer for whatever reason, so then kasvi piruki vishadu. They would write down their own answers, and they would send that in as well. These were great talmidei chacham. These were no slouches, right? So that was the system. Samuel Rabbi Yossi, Torah mi b'chutz v'anu mi b'fnim. Rabbi Yossi said to himself, "What a terrible thing! The Torah is out outside and we're on the inside. Amalah and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Na'ilinu. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, okay, let them come in. Miu Niknasinu, but we should make a knas on them. Still, they should still be punished in some way. You're right, it's not good to keep them out of the base medrash. These are the two of our greatest scholars. We should let them in the base medrash, but there should be a knas. Delonemu Shmaita Mishamayhu. We should never say over a teaching in their name. From this henceforth, from this day forward, we shouldn't say anything over in their names. Askul Rav Meir Acherim. So they decide Rav Meir has a new name. They're going to call him Acherim. Whenever they want to say something over from Rav Meir, they'll just say Acherim Omrim. And Rabbi Nassim, Yesh Omrim. And whenever they want to say something over from Rabbi Nassim, they would always say Yesh Omrim instead of Rabbi Nassim. The Marshal explains the reason they called him Acherim, even though he's only one man. So the Chori should have been called Acher, not Acherim. So the Marshal explains is that if you say Acher, it sounds like you know which guy you're talking about, and therefore it's likely that whoever hears that is going to say, who? Which Acher? Who's the one that said that? And then people are going to, and they're going to want to be maybe Gululiolim. They want to be able to say B'Shem Amro. So they're going to start asking who it is, and then you're going to have to end up having to say it in his name. As a security, as a way of making it that you're not going to have to say it in his name, they say Acherim rather than Acher. So there is no, which makes it sound like you don't know of any individual or who the individual is that holds that way. It's just a group of people say that way, that the Velt says that way. Be'er Sheva explains the reason they called him Acher but not Acher is because Acher is a greater Bizayon. We've had an Acher in our history, and that was for someone who went completely off the derech. That's someone who became a Mechal Shabbos and a Min. So that's the Elisha ben Avuya. So that's a very bad thing. We wouldn't want to call Rav Meir Acher. That's too insulting to call him. He also says, Be'er Sheva writes, they called him Acherim because there were other people with him in this plan. This was not a plot that was hatched by two people. It was hatched by more people. It's just only called Al Shem the leaders of the plot. That's why it's Acherim, because it's that whole group that the Knas was really made on. Now there is a Gemara in Brachos that says that Rav Meir and Acherim had a machlokas. So that's a little bit challenging. If Acherim is always Rav Meir, and you have a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Tesam Beis, that has a machlokas between Acherim and Rav Meir, so it's a little bit challenging. So what you have to say is he only took on the name Acherim at a certain point, but before that point he was not yet called Acherim, and probably after the death of Rav Shimon Gamliel, probably wasn't called Acherim either. Okay, says the Gemara, Achlu lehu b'chalmayu, zilu pisul Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Meir and Rabbi Nassim, who obviously must have been l'shem shemayim, they must have thought that this was an important thing to do, they saw in a dream to go and be mefayis from Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Nassim azil, Rabbi Nassim went to be mefayis him, Rav Meir lo azil, Rav Meir didn't go. Why didn't Rav Meir go? He saw in a dream he's supposed to. Amar divri chalamos l'malim v'lamaridin. He said, dreams are nonsense. So what you see in a dream should not determine what you do la halacha. It does not determine a halacha for you, what you're supposed to do in life. That's not the way we live our lives. Kiyazel Rabbi Nassim, so when Rabbi Nassim went, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, what is possible is that what you see in a dream is what your subconscious is telling you is really the right thing to do, right? Even if Tivrei Chalom Islam Malim V'Lomarid, then they're not. Even if they're not prophecy, which is a whole discussion in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, whether dreams are just nonsense or dreams actually are 1/60th of prophecy or whatever else, but even if it's not prophecy, it's likely a reflection of your subconscious, which is what you really believe deep down is the right thing to do. That's what the Nod of Yudah said about the Rabbeinu Ephraim, when it says that the Rabbeinu Ephraim was Matya the Barbuta fish, and then he asked it because he saw in a dream that they were feeding him chazer, and he said, I don't eat this, I keep kosher. They said, well, it's no different than the Barbuta fish that you were just Mekel with, and he changed his mind based on that dream. So the Nodav Yudah said, of course he changed his mind based on that dream, because why did he have the dream? Because deep down in his heart he was thinking, maybe I made a mistake. So he had the dream because his subconscious was talking to him. It's not because Divrei Chalomos really make a difference. So anyway, Kiyazel Rabbi Nassim Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel Nihida Hanilach Kamara Da Avucha L'mahavi Av Bezin Shavinicha Nami Nasi. So he said to him, granted, the position of your family is enough to put you in the Av Beis Din, we're going to make you a Nasi also. Masi le Rebbe, le Rabbi Shimon Berei, Rebbe taught Rabbi Shimon Berei, Achirim Omrim, Ilu Haya Tamura, Lo Haya Karev. He was teaching him a teaching in the name of Achirim, some halacha about Tamura, that if something was really Tamura, would not be brought as a carbon. Amrlo, Miyem Halali Shimei Meiman, Ushosim, Ushmosim, Einon Maskirim. So when Rabbi Shimon was learning that from Rebbe, from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Mishpach of the Nasi, after this was in the line of the Mishpach of the Nasi. So he said, you're telling me a halacha that's really a fantastic halacha, but you're not saying who said it. You're just saying, who is the one whose water we're drinking, but we don't even mention the names. This is a person who tried to be okay, the whole kavod of your kavod of the nasi and the kavod of your father's house. That's why we don't mention the names. He says, look, we have to take all of our sinna and make it go away. It's time to get over these things. He says, look, even if the oyev is gone, even if the enemy is gone, the swords have to be drawn forever. No, we can't just make it go away. We can't just forget. You don't just forgive and forget. You have to remember who tried to destroy your family. He says, no, you don't forgive and forget when they accomplished what they tried to do. But it was just a plan and it didn't come to fruition. So then you can forgive. The guy's gone already. He's dead already. We're generations later. Now we can move on. Can't we just say over his learning? So Rabbanu lo hanu ma'asayu. After all, these Rabbanu, they didn't accomplish what they wanted to do. Hadar asinlei amru mishum Rav Meir. So then he taught it to him again. He said, you know what? You're right. And he taught it to him in the name of Rav Meir. Ilu hayutmur lo yakarav. And he taught that halacha. Amru vafilu Rebbe da'an vasna hu tana amru mishum Rav Meir. Amar Rameir lo Amar. He says, look at that. Even Rebbe, after he, and the most humble person, who's not makbar on anything, after he's already forgiven him, and he's not calling him Acherim, he still doesn't say Amar Rameir. He says, Amru Mishum Rameir. He still can't bring himself to say Amar Rameir. So there's still some shemets of something that makes Rameir different. Amru in the eyes of the family of the Nisim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Pliy Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Rabbanon. Very famous Gemara. Machlokes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Rabbanon. Chad Amar Sinai Adif, v'Chad Amar Oker Harim Adif. One says it's a Sinai is better. One says an Oker Harim is better. So what does it mean is better? So it's possible that what it means is more qualified to serve as the Rosh Yeshiva. It does not necessarily mean that one is better, one is worse, because the Gemara says Rav Yosef Sinai Rabba Oker Harim. Rav Yosef was a Sinai, Rabba was an Oker Harim. Does that mean that if you hold the Sinai is odd, if you held that Rabba wasted his life? You held that Rabba by Sinai means, Rashi explains, means you know everything. Someone who's familiar with all of Shas. Oker Harim means someone who through the koach of his pilpul, the koach of his svara, is able to be maven davar mitoch davar, to really analyze something on a very high level, but it's not a Sinai, it doesn't have a broad knowledge of all of Shas. So would you hold that one is wasting his life and the other one's not? Like in our generation, that last generation we had currently Rav Vadi Yosef, I think it's Kuliam Lopligi is a Sinai. It's just the broad knowledge of everything is just astounding. No one has ever known probably more Jewish information in their brain than Rav Vadi Yosef did, just because there's so many more Sfarim that have been written in the past, and he just knows them all by heart. It's unbelievable. Rav Salvechik was an Oker Harim. So would those who hold Sinai hold that Rav Salvechik wasted his life? If Rav Salvechik tried to be Rav Vadi Yosef, he wouldn't be Rav Vadi Yosef. And if Rav Vadi Yosef tried to be Rav Salvechik, he wouldn't be Rav Salvechik. Mistama, it means that a person is supposed to do what their brain, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created their minds, it doesn't mean you're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. The question is, who should be the leader of the Jewish community? That's what it means, Adif, Mistama. Shalchu Taman, Ezemeim Kodim. So they said, okay, which one should come first? Rabbi or Rav Yosef? Who should be the next in line? So Shalchu Le Sinai Adif. They said, Sinai is always the better fit for the position. Damar Mar, HaKol Tzrich L'mari Chatya, because everyone needs someone to grind their wheat. V'afilu Achi Lo Kablu Rav Yosef Alei. So they offered Rav Yosef the job, and he didn't accept it. Malach Rabbi Esrin V'tarte Shin. So Rabbah instead had the job for 22 years. V'hadar Malach Rav Yosef, and then Rav Yosef took over for him. V'kol Shani the Malach Rabbah, Rav Yosef afilu umna lebeis lo chalif. And all those years that Rabbah was in charge, Rav Yosef wouldn't even take on any sort of srara. He wouldn't take on any position of authority, to the extent that he wouldn't even hire a bloodletter to come to his house. The Rama asks, what srara is that to bring a bloodletter into your house? Even a hediot shebehediotos brings a bloodletter into his house. So Tosfos Rashi explains. Most people go to the Beis HaUman, Lahak is done. Most people go to get the bloodletting done in the office of the person who's the bloodletter. Only people who are nechbadim have the bloodletter pay a house call. So that's what it is. He wouldn't let them pay a house call even, because even that level of strara he didn't want to take. Abayiv Rav Rabbi Zera V'Rabbi Bar Masna V'Yasviv Av Tzricha Reisha. They were on the search committee for the Rosh Yeshiva. Amri called Amr Milsav L'machrich L'Avi Reisha. They said, anyone who's going to say something that we can't ask a kasha on, that we can't shlug up, he should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Dekulu Ifrich. Everyone... Everyone's statements were asked on. Abaye lo ifrich, but Abaye was not. Chazi Rabbi Abaye de gabar reisha. So Rabbi saw that Abaye was he was elevated, so he lifted up his head. Amalei Nachmeni pasach veima. So he said, "No, Nachmeni, why don't you say?" Because he had a kasha, he had a statement that they couldn't ask on, that we would not be able to shlug up. So he said, "No, Nachmeni." That was Abaye's name. So machlok is exactly whether his name was Nachmeni and they called him Abaye because. Rabbi Bar Nachmani raised him and didn't want to say his father's name, so he called him Abaye Milashon Av, or his name was really Abaye, and he called him Nachmani when he adopted him because he wanted to name him after his father, or whatever it is. So he said, there's a mistake in Girsa and Rashi over here that they took out, that some say that it's a Lashon Ganai to call him Nachmani, to say you're still a Talmud of Rav Nachman, that look, you still need Rav Nachman. The reason why it's a mistake in Girsa is there are dozens of Gemaras in Shas where Rava calls Abaye Nachmani in a very respectful way. That, look, we have to listen to Nachmeni. Nachmeni knows best. So if he's using it in a respectful tone, it's hard to imagine that he's using it as an insult. So Yibayiluhu, Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Bar Masna, Heiminai Wadif. Between Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Bar Masna, which one is better? Rabbi Zera Charifu Maksha, Rabbi Bar Masna Masnu Masik. Rabbi Zera is very sharp and asks right away. He always jumps on things. And Rabbi Bar Masna is much more patient and comes to very clear conclusions. He builds things in a very clear and accurate way that comes. Draws very clear conclusions. So, Mai, what's the din? Which one is going to be better? So, Teku, the Gemara leaves it as a Teku, probably the most unsatisfying end to a Nezikim, but maybe that's how we feel about a lot of Nezikim. That Teku, that we still need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Meir Seinenu and to understand it a little bit better. But Mazel Tov and being Messiah Seinu Nezikim.